Okay, let's without further ado, Migulahotzi. Sugya of Migulahotzi, which comes up here on Beis Menachem, a number of places in Shas. It's obviously a very important one, you know, for understanding Migul, and that definitely is something important we want to understand. The first part of it connects very much to the Sugya we learned last week and to understanding the situation that we have here. Okay, what's the makor for all this? So the Mishnah here, as we noted last week, it talks about two types of tanos. The first case is where the tanot are equal, right? Zero makudu shali, zero makudu shali. The second kind of case is where the tanot are different. Zero makudu shali and zero merchetzi shali. Right, so this is a different kind of case. And those who saw the Tosefta, let's in fact take a look at it together. The Tosefta brings a similar case. Instead of kudu shali and chetzi shali, it's kudu shali and shlish shali. At the very end of the Tosefta, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, take a look. The Tosefta says, Ze'aklal, Ein Nishma Ela Al Chatzi Ta'anoso To'ano Bilvad. Some have the girsa of Eino Notel Ela Chatzi To'ano Bilvad. There seems to be some klal here. And one wonders whether this klal is just, you know, a summary of the Halacha, or whether it's a principle that exists as a principle that generates the Halacha. Meaning when the Tosefta says, you only swear, you only take half of your Tana, is that just a summary of the Halacha, or is that the reason for the Halacha? Is there some kind of klal that's how it needs to work? And that's, I think, the question about the case itself. Now, the Migu question is, of course, something the Rishonim bring up. And there are two types of answers. Now, everyone here gets focused on Migu Lahotzi, but the Rishonim do bring other answers. The answer of the Chachmei Sfardi is a very interesting one, a very important one in and of itself to understand in principle. And as we'll see, I think some of the underlying assumptions of the Rishonim carry over from how they view the first answer to how they view the second answer. Now, this kasha of Migul Lahotzi, the backdrop for the kasha, as I'm sure you all saw in Tosos, the Gemara and Daf Ches, that says, had it not been for the fear of harama, for trickery, that's only Shaykh regarding the Shvua, that you would have been Nifta Mimenu, we would have said Migul, right? The Gemara itself says the Migu is Shayach here. It says we can't apply it to the Shvuah because we're worried about Harama. But the Migu does apply here. Satosa is coming along and saying, use the Migu for the issue of the money, even if you can't use it.
Can we go back? You're muted for a little bit.
There's a big echo. Can I go back to what?
Rebbe, it was muted a bit, so could Rebbe go back to the beginning?
The beginning of the shiur or the beginning of my discussion?
No, the beginning of what we were discussing.
Okay. And again, I suggest that even if it's good to see me on a big screen or here, maybe if each one logs in individually, if it's possible, it's easy. This way I can see each of you up close. Okay. In any case, I was talking about the two types of answers in the Rishonim and how the ideas carry over. I assume that was heard. I started speaking about Tosus's. And it's really the Balei HaTosfos and the Chachmei Ashkenaz in general who asked this kasha of Migul Lahotzi. And I was speaking about how the kasha is rooted in the Gemara and Daf Ches. Right? The Gemara there suggests this Migu to patur you from the Shvua, and it then says, well, if we use this Migu, there'll be a problem of Harama. But it's mashma that in principle the Migu should apply. So that's where the Rishonim are coming from and saying, okay, the Migu can't apply by Shvua, but it should apply to help you with the monetary side of things. Right, everyone's on the case, on the ball, good, no, continue, okay. There are really three questions to discuss here regarding the answer of Migul Lahotzi. This is the Kasha, and then, you know, of course, Tosfos quotes the Rivam, who says, you know, Migul Lahotzi lo amrina. There are three issues to discuss regarding this teretz of Migul Lahotzi, three reasons why other Rishonim don't accept the teretz here. The first and easiest way to reject this teretz is to say that we don't hold from this idea of Migul Lahotzi lo amrina. We do say Migul Lahotzi. This is generally the position of the Chachmei Sfard. The Chachmei Sfard rejected the whole thing of Migul Lahotzi lo amrinan. We do say Migul Lahotzi. Okay. The second issue to discuss is applying the principle of Migul Lahotzi to our case. Now, here there are really two issues. There are really two issues. The first is what Migul Lahotzi depends upon. And the second is how we view our case. And that second one, obviously, is a continuation of what we discussed last week. But let's start with the first one. There are some who said you can't apply this problem to our case, because the criteria, the question is not whether it's lahotzi, but whether it's lahachzik. If you take a look at the Tosfos Rid, the first source here, the end of his words, after he quotes the Teretz, he says, Veina nirli Teretz ze, shegam ze lahachziku, shekach hu machzik bakef chaveiro. The Tosfos Rid says it doesn't apply here because he's using the migu lahachzik, something he's already holding on to. Meaning, as opposed to Tosfos Pashup Shat in his formulation, that the migu is a problem when it's lahotzi, the Tosfos Rid is saying we're not looking at whether there's hotza, we're not looking at what you're taking from someone else, we're looking at whether you are considered a muchzik. Here we have a unique case where you may be motzi and machzik at the same time. And therefore the question is which aspect we look at. If you look, for example, at Tosfos and Baba Basra Daf Lamed Beis, which many of you may not have gotten, that he also uses terminology of lahachzik. Right, so this is a question of principle, right? You could agree that migu lahotzi lo amrinan, but say it doesn't depend on the hotzi, it depends on whether you're machzik, and here you are being machzik. And that's what the Tosfos Rid says. And of course, this is a very intriguing question. I'm not sure if we'll get back to today or not. Why should it be a problem of lahotzi or a need for lahachzik? Why should it be one versus the other? In any case, most of the Rishonim did speak in terminology of lahotzi as opposed to the Tosfos Rid. But there's still a third point. Again, the first question is, do we agree to this principle of migu lahotzi at all? The second point is whether it depends on lahotzi or lahachzik. The third point is how we view our case. Is our case one of hotza'a or not? And who addresses this issue? Who addresses this issue? Oh, it's good that we're all sitting in a room together so that we don't know the answer. It's not that we don't know the answer. It's just that we can't tell our Beit Haragan. Where's Edinger? This is a perfect time for Edinger to speak. Is Edinger in the room? It looks like he's near Wiener, further off screen. Good to see your hand, Eitan. Mazel tov on your birthday. In any case, it's a day of reflection. Who deals with this question? Anyone? One more time? Anyone? The Shita Mekubetzes. There's a number of parts to the Shita Mekubetzes where he's quoting different Rishonim, but he begins by quoting the Gilyon, things that were written on the side of the page that he had. And the Gilyon brings all kinds of other answers besides Tosos's answer. And the Shita Mekubetzes then explains why the Gilyon didn't like Tosos's answer, the end of the first paragraph. V'nirasha agirlio nirlo dochak masha hatosfas korin migu lahotzi imayinu ma'aminim lo alachetzi teho lahachzik hoya da'anan sadi demay detofis kol chadi dehu da'avi chetzi lekol chad. He said what motivated the Gilyon to not say Tosfos's answer is you're tofas on chetzi, you're not being motzi from him. I'm tofas on chetzi, you're tofas on chetzi, you're using your migu to go from a quarter to a half, you're not being motzi. There's no hotza here at all. Does everyone understand the three critical points here? In order to say like Tosfos, simply you need to say A, that there's a problem of migul hotzi, B, that it's a problem of hotza versus achzaka, and C, that there's a hotza here. So now the question becomes, how do we explain Tosfos? Why did Tosfos see this as lahotzi? I believe that there are three explanations for Tosfos, three possible explanations. I like the third one. But let's start with the ones that are written beferish in the Rishonim. So the Shita Mekubetzes in his next paragraph brings the Mahari Katz. And he says, Chiddush, that in the second part of the Mishnah, it's talking about where the one who says Kula Sheli is physically toe-faced the whole thing alone. So in a regular case, Shnayim Ochsim Betalis, each one's holding on the end. Here, the Kula guy is holding the Chetzi up to the midpoint, and then they're both struggling for the other part. Okay, we can understand very well why, we view them each as half and half on the second half. Again, the Mahari Katz basically agrees to the Gilyon's assumption that if they were machzik equally, we would view each as muchzik on half and half, right? And then it wouldn't be lahotzi. He just says the case is different. Okay, so in your flow chart, the Mahari Katz is, towards the Gilyon, 100% like the Gilyon, just says the case in the Mishnah is different. So we all understand, the Chiddush, let's say it nicely, difficulty, let's say it not nicely, with the answer of the Mahari Katz, right? The Mishnah doesn't say any of this. And that's why it's understandable that the Rashbitz, quoted in the third part of the Shita Mekubetzes here, he gives a different answer, a second approach to Tosfos. And what he says is, we don't view it as half and half. We view it as each one being muchlik on the whole thing, right? This takes us back to our discussion last week. And that is indeed the way the Chiddush Yaron explains the words of Tosfos. The reason it's migul lahotzi is because havalei kol chad v'chad kilo muchlik bekula. Truma Sadeshin explains that way as well. And this would explain very well why the one who says kula sheli has to swear not just that the extra half is his, but that all, you know, three quarters are his. Why does he have to swear on the whole thing? Because the whole thing is in question. They're both tafas on the whole thing. Does everyone understand this second approach of the Rashbits? I'll take that as a yes. Okay. Before getting to the third approach, I just want to elaborate a little bit more on this idea here, and we'll see that it's not so simple. Even if you see it this way, that they're both toughest on the whole thing, you could still disagree with Tosfos. Why? You can say, since they're both toughest on the whole thing, we don't see either of them as having a real chazakah, right? Meaning, maybe we would say it's not migul lahotzi because neither of them have a real chazakah because they're both toughest on the whole thing. This is indeed the way the Ramban in Baba Basra explains the situation of Bari Vishema, that the Bari is Naaman. Printed here, the Ramban, let's take a look. We saw this part of the Ramban in the last sugya, it's on page 3. B'kol ha'achdina b'chol b'mishvua, etc., right? Hanimidu b'bari v'bari. Avo b'bari v'shema v'kulu bari yadif. D'haleka l'chad minayu chazaka d'mamona. He's saying it even by cases of yachloku. There is no real chazaka here. And this is where the Trumas Hadeshin comes in, a very interesting piece in the Trumas Hadeshin. The Trumas Hadeshin says something very similar to the Ramban. He says that when we have a rove, we go by the rove in our case where they're both tafus, even though in general, rove versus chazaka by mamon, we don't say rove lahotzi. It's true that in issues of iser, taros, we say rove chazaka ruba adif, but ein holchim b'mamon achar rove is how we paskin. We don't use rove to be motzi from cheskes mamon. But here, says the Trumas Hadeshin, where they're both toughest at the same point together, we don't see this as a real cheskes mamon. And this is where the Trumas Hadeshin becomes so interesting. He says there's a difference between whether you say migu lahotzi versus whether you see it as a chazaka versus the rove. He says like this. Migu is different. It's considered migu lahotzi, even where the chazaka is two people being tofes at the same time. But even though we view the chazaka as a chazaka to make the migu lahotzi, we don't view the chazaka as a chazaka to not say rov. Wow. Let's look inside the Trumas Hadeshin. He says, af al pi shishneyam muchzakin bishava, it's considered lahotzi in the case where they're both tafas. That we don't say migu. But regarding rov, in the end of his piece, he says again,
to say
that we have a strong enough chazaka that rov won't work, we need that your tofes alone. To make it migul lahotzi, even this pseudo tfisa works. And this seems to be the assumption of the Ramban as well, because the Ramban does assume that our case is migul lahotzi. He just says we don't say migul lahotzi lo aminan. But he agrees that the case is a case of migul lahotzi. He doesn't say there's no chazaka here. So the obvious question is, why would the chazaka be enough of a chazaka to call it migul lahotzi, but not enough of a chazaka to stop rov from working? And again, this just is, I'm not just asking a kasha. I'm just trying to sharpen the point that maybe migul lahotzi is a different type of standard. A lower level of tfisa stops you from saying migul. That's basically the point. I just want to sharpen that point according to Tosfos, according to this understanding of the Rashbits, which is also the understanding of the Trumas Hadeshin and the Chiddush Yaron. It's not just, you know, that according to Tosos, the reason we say migul lahotzi here, the reason it's lahotzi is because they're both tafas on the whole thing. I was just pointing out there's a little bit of a chiddush to say that two people tafas on the whole thing would be considered lahotzi. Any questions about this before we get to the third and final approach to Tosfos? Okay. From the lashon of Tosfos, I think it seems like he understood it in a third different way. Meaning, which chetzi makes it lahotzi? Let's look inside the words of Tosfos. Meaning, is it about the first half or the second half? You'll see what I mean in a second. He says, like the Gemara in Daf Ches, Mefarish Rivam, the Migul Lahotzi Lo Amrinan, the Bechetzio Hasheni Muchzik Zekemoza. What's he talking about here? What does he mean? I think one can say, according to Tosfos, that even though objectively we would say that everyone is Muchzik Bechetzi, and that's indeed what we say when their tanos are equal. Here, since the whole machlokus between them is only on the second half, they're both considered muchzakim on the second half. And the first half is only in the muchzakis of the one who said kula sheli. They're both muchzakim on the second half. That's where we say it's migula hotzi. I think you see this even more clearly in the Tosas Arash. Let's take a look at the Tosas Arash back again, at least by me, on the bottom of page 2. They're holding the ends. In principle, you shouldn't really have had to swear on the rest. The Tosas Rush here relates to the point we said before. We said before that if you view them both as muchzakan on the whole thing, we can understand very well why you have to swear on the whole thing. Tosas Rush says it's not real. You really don't have to swear on the other half because you're muchzak on it alone. It's just we don't want it to be ramos, so we make you swear on the other half as well. But according to Tosfos, you can say the issue is about this half itself that we view the two of them as muchzak on. So now the last point that needs to be clarified is, according to this, that the migul lahotzi is not because they're both muchzak on the whole thing, right? But they're both muchzak on this half that's being discussed. How do we view that? What are the two ways of viewing this now about that one half? So obviously you can say this half that they're debating, they're both muchzak on the whole thing. Or this half that they're debating, they're muchzak each on half, meaning a quarter of the total. So who says the former way? That on this half, they're both muchzak on the whole half. Who says it that way? That's the Tosas Rush that we just read, right? The Tosas Rush says, or again, Hacheti shumod l'chashiv ki levada muchzak bo, v'hacheti sheim don in a love, chashiv ki lushneim muchzakin bo. On the whole thing. And that's the way the Me'iri sounds as well. We take a look at the Me'iri. Chetzi zeh she'alav atana, zocha kol echot b'chetzi she'u revi'a atalas, v'nintu rishon zeh v'shon gham l'edah 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 gham Sharei ein atana elu b'chetzi, av chetzi zeh she'atana alav, harehu kidu shneem v'zokam bo v'einu m'am emigu l'hotzi mamon. The Tosfos Rush in the Me'iri, and there are many achronim who say this according to Tosfos, they say, the first half that everyone agrees is Reuven's, this is just Reuven's. The second half they're debating, Reuven and Shimon are muchzak on the whole half. But one could explain it otherwise, right? One could say, the first half is Reuven's. The second half, we view each as muchzak on half. And this makes a lot of sense according to Tosfos, right? It makes a lot of sense according to Tosfos, who said in the Tosfos right before, that in a case where their tanos are equal, we view each as muchzak on half. And again, this brings us back to a point we made last week about how our view of the Tfisa may depend on the Tanos. Since Tosos is a half-half man, maybe that half-half will here be on the half that's being debated. And this is indeed the way Rabbeinu Yonah in Baba Basra explains the Shita. take a look at the last source here. Page 3, he says, there we see kolechet kamosha tafsa muksik b'chetzi mashacholkin. Nimta atoin kula shali demahanyule tfisi l'shnei chalokim, sharei ein chaveru cholek alav ela b'chetzia. Hilkoch lo amrina batu migu lafukim amona. And there are many achronim who explain Tosas this way. Kovit Shurim, Chaim Telzer. Right, again, Tosas is not clear. I like this second explanation of Tosfos because I think it continues the half-half view of Tosfos. But, you know, the question is how that half-half view would work in this case, and we don't know. So in essence, we've been speaking about how, you know, whether you say Migul Hotzi here, depends obviously on whether you say Migul Hotzi and whether it's Lohotzi or Lahachzik, but it also depends on how you view the Tfisa in our situation. This, you know, is how today's shiur is a continuation of last week's shiur. You know, as we move on, we're going to be moving away from it, right? I'm going to start talking about Migul Hotzi in general and understanding, you know, the principles of Migul Hotzi, but this is a good transition for today. And the simple nafkamina of all this is whether we see the psak of Yachloku in this case as Lahotzi. And I'll soon tell you what, you know, the chiddush on that is, what's the nafkamina of that conceptual question. According to the Shita Mugubetz, the name of the Rashbitz, according to Chiddush Aaron, there definitely is a Hotzi here, right? When you take that one quarter and give it to Shimon, there's a Hotzi because they're both Musik on the whole thing. But according to what we said, according to Tosus in the end, that they're half-half on the, you know, they're a quarter-quarter on the half, right? They're half-half on the half. There's no Hotzi here, right? We're giving each one what they're Musik in. What's the nafkamina of this question of whether we view the psak of Yechloku here as Lahotzi or not? Could you use the migu not to get the additional quarter, but to protect your quarter? Let's say you need a migu for whatever reason here, right? To get your quarter. Would we say that it's a migu Lahotzi? So, you know, again, according to the Shit Mugubetzis Rashbats and according to Chiddush Aaron, you know, it wouldn't be Lahotzi, right? It wouldn't be Lahotzi. I'm sorry, it would be Lahotzi. We wouldn't be able to use the Migu. Again, according to the Rashbats and the Chiddush Aaron, that we view them as each Muchzik on the whole half, you would not be able to use the Migu because even to collect your one quarter, you're being Motzi. The Mordechai quotes the Ritzbah, who seems to disagree with this and seems to say that there is a problem of Migul Hotzi even on the quarter. I say seems because it's not 100% clear. Interestingly, this piece in the name of the Ritzbah appears twice in the Mordechai. Once in his first round of commentary, happens to be Os Reish Tes Zayin, and then again a little bit more clear in his second round of commentary in the Ha'aris that he added, and interestingly there it's Tof Tes Zayin. Right, so it's 200 letters later. If we take a look at Reish Tes Zayin, everybody knows, of course, that the reason Bav Metzia starts with Reish Tes Zayin is because the Mordechai did by Seder. So it starts Bava Kama, had the first 226 otiot, and now we get to Bav Metzia. The end of Os Reish Tes Zayin, Viritz Batiritz, De Lo Amrinan Migu Lahotzi, Afilu Baos Amamon, he's relating to the Ramban's answer, De Chetzio Hasheni Muchzuk. There's a difference between taking the second quarter and taking the first quarter. The Gemara where it said that you could use Migu, with the Gemara where it said, the Gemara where it says you can use the Migu to take without the Shavua, that's the Gemara's Kasha on Daf Ches. That was to keep the first quarter. The second quarter, you can't use it for. That's Migu Lahotzi. Meaning on the first quarter, it's not Lahotzi because this is mine. To see it a little bit more clearly now, in Tuf Tes Zayin, page 164 in mine, right after he finishes his Aris on the Masechta, he's got like Hagos Mordechai, you know, extra. Veritzba, Tiritz, De Lo Amrin and Migu Lahotzi. Afilu al oto mamon, the bechetzi asheni muchzak zekemoze, uve gemara the kamer migu, Hainu litel harivia below shvua. The high muchzuk ikri berivia. The hainu chatzi tvia. So we view you as muchzuk on the quarter, half of the half. There you can say the migo, it's not lahotzi. That's why the Gemara and Daf Ches thought you could use the migo. To say migo on the second half of the half, that's migo lahotzi. That's a half-half view of the half that they're disputing. So the Ritzbah justifies using the migu on the first half of the half, as the Gemara and Daf Ches is suggesting, as opposed to the second half of the half, because the first half is not lahotzi. The second half would be lahotzi. Any questions about any of this? Today, basically, we discussed the answer of Tosas, Bali Tosas Chachmei Ashkenaz, of Migu Lahotzi. We did Aleph 1. Okay, we did Aleph 1. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss not just, but also Aleph 2. I understand the Mordechai was in Aleph 2, so it was also for me to quote it. The reason I put it in Aleph 2 is because any of the Rishonim who quote more answers, I put, you know, for tomorrow to see more at length. So the first thing we're going to do is talk about the other answers in the sugya and try and understand them. And particularly, you can make a note for this for yourself. I believe the Chidushi Aran's approach to this other answer is reflective of his same assumption in the first part of the sugya, that we view them both as muchzak on the whole thing. So that's number one. Number two, tomorrow, it's not so much, you know, all of them are dealing with one answer. We'll start speaking about Ot Bet, which is Migul Hotzi. Right, after we talk about our sugya, the two answers in our sugya, and I'm doing it all first because I think, you know, I want to show you the connection and how you view the situation of Tfisa here. After we finish that, we're going to start talking about Migu Lahotzi in general and try and understand whether it should be, you know, whether we should say Migu Lahotzi or not. Nothing to do with our sugya, right? Just the general principles at work and very interesting stuff. And that's Ot Bet and separate. And my hope is that if we do enough of it tomorrow, maybe we'll be able to finish it on Thursday. Maybe we'll continue our minig of Hashlamas on Friday. We'll see. Maybe we'll continue Sunday. Well, we'll decide together based on your pace. And you guys should set yourselves up there whatever way works good, you know, best for you. I'm thinking, you know, sometimes a person can give an answer, even ask a question through each year, chat it, et cetera. I do my best. Maybe it's better people have their own personal thing as well. But whatever works best for you guys. I'm really happy and excited that we're back and learning. I'm happy that you had a teal. That's wonderful. And let's get on the wave and get our starim down and our chavrusas down and do what we need to do. And obviously, it's challenging. So I hope that everybody, A, will do what they need to do and not cause extra challenges. B, help out. Everyone should help out, should volunteer to help out, managing things so things can be in the best possible way. And looking forward to continuing to learn. And every day I should have this time to be able to learn with you and the other shiurim. And we should be back in person soon. Mir Tzah Hashem. Okay. Everyone should have a great day.